Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems like we were just here, doesn't it? Only a few days ago, we sat in this same space at nearly the same time, celebrating the birth of our loving Savior. And now we're back here again this morning to continue our celebration of the gift that God gave to the world. Our focus has been on this amazing reality that God, at Christmas, came down to earth so that we may all be prepared for heaven. Now, that may sound much more like Easter than Christmas, more like the ascension after his resurrection, where he goes back to the Father, promising to return again to take us home with him. But the truth is, for us to be in heaven someday, we need Jesus coming to the earth first, because without his coming, we can't have peace with God. And that peace with God really is the key element of the gospel, and so then also the key element of heaven. So make no mistake, we are prepared for heaven because our Savior brings peace with God. Now, peace with God is something that all men and women and children need. We need it because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people, by their sins, have earned eternal death. But Christmas is not supposed to be a time of thinking about sin and punishment. It's supposed to be a time of joy and goodwill toward men, a time of the trivial and the frivolous. In fact, for most people, Christmas is a time of tradition, for family, and really nothing more. Many people don't know of this great gift that God has given to the world. These days, Jesus sort of gets in the way of most of the fun of Christmas if you take him at his word seriously. But I'm talking about the grown-up Jesus here, the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. Is just so cute and adorable, isn't he? See, that's the image of Jesus that the world on this week embraces and remembers in sort of a nostalgic way. Even the Holy Family is an image that is viewed kindly. After all, it's a family, and isn't Christmas all about families? And how about people of our society, how they love the giving part of Christmas? Retailers most certainly love it, for it really helps their bottom line for the year. Those who receive all those gifts, well, they love it because of all of the gifts they get. Unless the kids don't get what they asked for. The sad part of the gift giving is the lack of understanding of the gift that God has given to the world. Most people don't know they need a Savior. They only see a little baby, remember him this time of year, and then forget about him until this time of year rolls around again. And to be honest, there are many who don't see Jesus at all. For them, Christmas is only a fat, white-bearded man in a red suit. The vast majority of the world take no thought, have no knowledge of the eternal ramifications of the birth of Jesus. And of equal concern is the reality that some Christians get caught up in the frenzy and the glitter of Christmas without taking time to reflect on the gift of God. What the gift of Jesus means for our eternal future. The birth of Jesus is a joyous reality because it was prophesied and promised for so many centuries before its fulfillment. That's why Simeon and Anna were so happy and rejoiced upon seeing Jesus, the Messiah in infant form. They'd been waiting and longing for a Savior, and when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, they did not just see a little baby, they saw their Savior. They saw the Savior of all mankind. Simeon and Anna, by the power of the Holy Spirit, saw and knew the great gift to them and to the world. And Simeon points out God's universal grace when he states in what we know as the Nunc Dimittis, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Notice that he says God's salvation is for all people, not just the Jews, but Gentiles also. St. Paul reinforces this when he writes his letter to the young pastor Timothy, "God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." Remember, we are prepared for heaven because our Savior brings us peace with God. The birth of Jesus is a great blessing because Jesus, true God, became incarnate so that he might live perfectly under God's law and thus satisfies the law for all mankind. Jesus had to live willingly, perfectly, under that law as a man in order to experience the law of God in the same way that we too experience it. He had to be tempted in every way just as we are tempted. Jesus, truly human, lived perfectly under God's law without sinning. And in fulfillment of the law, he took on the sins of all mankind so that he once and for all could pay their price completely on the cross. By his actions on our behalf, we are saved by grace through faith. Now we can say with Simeon that we are able now to depart in peace, because through faith in Jesus, we know that we are at peace with our Heavenly Father and certain of our eternal salvation. And as we, as believers in Jesus, are enabled by the Holy Spirit to show goodwill toward our neighbor by sharing with them the truth of who Jesus is. Speak to those whom you know who don't know the eternal ramifications of the birth of Jesus. Help those around you to know that preparation for heaven comes through faith in Jesus. Not only the baby Jesus, but also the resurrected Jesus. Remember that the hope of Anna and Simeon is tied up in Jesus' meritorious work on their behalf as well as ours. So you see, the manger must never be separated from the cross, Bethlehem from Calvary, his birth from his death, resurrection, and Easter morning. Simeon and Anna were so happy because by the power of the Holy Spirit, they believed in Jesus, the Messiah, and their heavenly home. May God bless all of you in these coming weeks and empower you to share with others the joy that you know in Jesus. Amen.